This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to AvWeb's audio news service, and today we're speaking with Kristen Huff of Blackstone Labs, one of the leading purveyors of engine oil analysis. Thanks for being with us, Kristen.
Sure.
I should say that you're backed by popular demand, or at least previously we spoke to Ryan Stark, who's also there at Blackstone. In our last conversation, we talked about engine oil change intervals, and several readers now want to discuss what the various wear metals in an analytical sample actually mean. But first, why don't you describe the basic process of burning oil, which is, I think, the term you use.
Well, basically, what we do when we get a sample is we take about 2 milliliters of the oil and we mix it with kerosene. And we set those samples up to run through our spectrometer. And the oil gets shot through a plasma arc. And the plasma burns the oil and breaks it into the spectrum, and the machine can read each light wave. Each element is represented by a specific light wave. So the machine tells us how much metal is in each wave. That's how we can gauge how much metal is in the oil.
Now, I assume the machine spits out an analytical report so that you don't have to actually look through any kind of a scope to estimate this the way they used to do 50 years ago. Analytical report tells you percentage of metals, or what exactly is a nomenclature?
It tells us parts per million.
Parts per million per volume of oil.
That's correct.
Okay, let's talk specifically about some of the metals you find in oil and what they mean.
The dominant metal that we usually see is iron. Iron comes from any steel part. Typically, in an aircraft engine, that's cylinders. Of course, there's different types of cylinders out there. So if you've got something other than factory steel cylinders, then we might find chrome reading as the dominant metal, or maybe nickel. But usually, with factory steel cylinders, we find iron reading the highest. Basically, any steel part can produce iron. So if you had a camshaft that was wearing poorly, we'd find high iron. But basically, cylinders are what we usually think of with iron. Aluminum has several sources. Aluminum often shows piston wear. If an engine has been inactive, then we sometimes see oxides coming off the top of the case, and that leads to high aluminum. Also, a source of aluminum that some people don't think about is an aluminum dipstick. If you hold a magnet up to your dipstick and it doesn't stick, then you might be that might be a source of high aluminum in your engine. Do you want me to keep going with different metals?
Yeah, I would. But before you do that, let's go back and talk about iron for a moment. When you see high iron in a sample, are you able to tell whether that is from wear on the cylinder or from as a corrosion byproduct?
No, we can't tell.
So you can only surmise it's one or the other.
Yeah, and that's where we really rely on the information the person gives us on their oil slip. The more they tell us about how active an engine has been, the better we're able to tell whether iron is coming from corrosion or if it's coming from a poorly wearing steel part.
So let's say that we got a high iron spike and the owner reports that the airplane has been flying regularly, let's say 30 hours a month. That wouldn't necessarily be corrosion. That would be genuine wear somewhere in the cylinder train.
Yeah, and it also depends on what other metals are reading high. Like if I saw high iron and high nickel, I would start to think about exhaust valve guide wear.
Okay, let's go down the list of other metals you're looking for.
Sure. Like I said, chrome can show up high when you've got chrome cylinders installed. But if that's the case, then chrome should be about the same from sample to sample. If chrome's been low and all of a sudden it reads high and you haven't installed chrome cylinders, then it probably shows ring wear. As a side note, if you've got chrome cylinders, then your rings are steel. So in that case, with chrome cylinders installed, we would find high iron with ring wear. Copper tends to show wear at a bronze or a brass part. Usually, when it's brass, we tend to see high zinc as well, and that would sometimes be from the oil cooler. Sometimes there's brass parts that we don't know about, but usually, if I see copper and zinc, I think the oil cooler. If I see copper alone, I tend to think a bushing. Rocker arm bushings are suspect in Lycomings, but if there was another brass part or bronze part, that could also explain copper. Another note about copper is that Aeroshell 1550 is good oil, but sometime in mid-2007, I think they changed something in the additive package so that in Lycomings, Aeroshell 1550 tends to cause copper to read high. It's not wear per se, it's just a chemical reaction with a coating that Lycoming uses. So it reads, copper will read high if you've got a Lycoming with 1550, but it's not really bad for your engine. It's just that it masks any true bronze wear that might be coming from your bronze parts. So it makes it hard for us as analysts to tell what's going on.
And you'll note that only with Aeroshell, but not other oils, correct?
That's exactly right. Only Aeroshell 1550, not any other Aeroshell product, not any other oil.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other metals, nickel, for example.
I think, as I mentioned earlier, nickel tends to show exhaust valve guide wear, although the cylinders, if they're nickel-plated, can also cause nickel to read high. And like chrome, that should be pretty steady from sample to sample. Tin is something that we don't see very often in aircraft engines, and when it shows up in conjunction with copper and lead, we tend to think bearings. Now, lead is something that it's hard to get a good gauge on with aircraft engines because you got all that lead coming from blow-by. If I found high copper and high tin, even though I couldn't really tell how much lead was coming off the bearings, I would be worried about a bearing issue.
Now, when you see those spiky metals, you have reference, you have a fairly significant database of what an engine should show in terms of wear metals, correct?
That's right.
How does that work? So if you see a slightly high metal, say high iron or high aluminum, you refer to the database and that informs your decision on what to tell the owner.
That's right. And one thing that we could try to keep in mind is that our averages are based on a certain oil change interval. For example, on my screen right now, I've got a Continental IO360D, and our averages are based on 22 hours on the oil. The sample that this person had just sent in was based on 12 hours on the oil. So I will say, okay, his metal should be roughly half of our averages. It doesn't always work quite that. It's not quite as straightforward as that. But generally, iron and lead should be about half of our averages. So we do compare to averages, and we take into account how long the person has run the oil.
Now, Blackstone writes a nice personal report that really comments on that specific engine. How do you develop that? Just from sixth sense of knowing about the history of that particular type of engine?
Every time we hire a new analyst, we put them through Blackstone University, which is a rigorous schedule. It is it's a week long of training, where we sit down, all of the other analysts, mainly Jim and Ryan and I, since we own the company, sit down and we tell them everything we know about aircraft engines and gas and diesel engines and motorcycles and trains and boats and everything that we do. And then we start having them proof the reports that we write. And then after a little while, we'll turn them loose, and then we always proof what they do. And we just make sure that they've taken in the information that we told them and that they're making it easy to understand for the person who reads it.
What is the threshold for picking up the phone and calling an owner or sending a fax or an email?
That's the hardest thing for a new analyst to learn, and it differs with every case. Usually, we will mark something as too high when it is about double average, but there's lots of factors that we take into account, like inactivity or if someone's just had new parts installed. We try not to set anybody's pants on fire if we don't really think it's a problem. So if all the indications are that this is a problem, that's when we call.
And do you usually recommend an immediate resample, or what's the usual strategy?
Again, it kind of depends on what's going on. If it's somebody who's been inactive and metals have just gone haywire and we can tell that it's corrosion, but we can't tell if the engine is too far gone, then we would say only fly like 5 or 10 hours and send us another sample. If it's a case where somebody's had new parts installed, then we would say, you're just fine, run another 25, 30, 40 hours and check back. If it's a problem, we would definitely say resample, but we would also tell them they should talk to their mechanic or check it out themselves if they're mechanically adept.
What do you think the biggest misconception is that owners have about oil analysis?
That it can find every problem that there is. Oil analysis is just one of the tools that you need. You need to take a look at your filter every time that you change the oil, or your screen, every time you change the oil to see if there's metal showing up. Wobble tests are real good for finding exhaust valve guide problems. The onboard computers that are becoming increasingly common, I think people should really pay attention and educate themselves on how to read those results, because the results that you get don't mean anything if you don't understand what it's telling you. Oil analysis is just one problem, and occasionally, or one tool to use. Occasionally, we have an instance where the engine looks fine, and the next thing we know, they had a major problem show up. So you have to be alert in all aspects for problems, not just use your oil analysis.
Well, all right, Kristen, thanks for the education on wear metal. You've been listening to AvWeb's audio news service. We've been talking with Kristen Huff of Blackstone Labs. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.